Morning, and let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7, we're going to begin reading in verse 21. Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 21. This is not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. When Jesus taught, there was a difference. Because he taught them as somebody having authority. He didn't teach them as the scribes did. You ever thought about that? How mealy-mouthed they must have been. How unwilling to commit to any hard truth they were. They were too worried about the opinion of men. And a lot of times we have that today. You have people that won't preach things because they're afraid of what somebody will say. There are several of the Methodist churches that are breaking away from the United Methodist Church because of their stand on homosexuality. And thank God they're finally breaking away, but they're long overdue from doing that. And the sad thing about it is, the problem is that when you talk to these people, when you talk to them about that, they don't have any hard, this is right, this is wrong. The only thing that they have is this dogma of so-called tolerance, where you can tolerate anything except righteousness. And, you know, we've said it before that the more tolerant a people grow of sin, the less tolerant they grow of righteousness. And that's the truth. But Jesus was preaching to these people, and he's preaching with authority, and he's not preaching with the scribes. He's telling them the truth. He's answering the deep questions that people may have. And in this section of Scripture that we're talking about, he is answering one of the most basic questions that people have when it comes to this issue about salvation. And there's some things that we need to pay attention to. First off, he says this. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now that ought to make us take notice. It ought to make us take notice. It's something we ought to pay attention to, both in our own hearts and then dealing with other people as well. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask his help. Father, I need your help now, and I just pray that you would help me to be straightforward and Lord, and clear. And Lord, I need the Spirit of God to speak to people's hearts, because I cannot do that. Only you can do that. So I just pray you'd help me to be a blessing today and help your people. And we thank you for everything you've given in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this, this passage of scripture that we read, it comes on the heel of Jesus saying that we should enter in at the straight gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. All right. And so when we look at this, that's what he's talking about. He tells us about that narrow way and that straight gate and that wide way and that broad gate. And he tells us to be careful which way we enter in. And he also warns them about false prophets who come to them in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And he tells us that we'll know them by their fruits. And so he goes on, and there's so many passages in the Bible about false teachers and false prophets and false people like that. As a matter of fact, when we go into this passage of Scripture, when he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." When he says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven," that ought to give us pause, because we need to understand what he's talking about there. The mere saying, "Lord, Lord," doesn't necessarily mean that you actually acknowledge Christ as Lord, that you actually believe him to be your Lord. He said in another place, he said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" So we look at that, and there are so many, as I speak on this, I'm having verses come to my mind as where people are calling him Lord, but yet, people that came to Jesus and they said, he called some fella, he said, "Come to follow me," and he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and, kiss my mama and daddy," right? And Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Another one came to him and said, "Lord, I'll follow thee wherever thou goest." And Jesus said, "Foxes have holes and the fowls of the air have nest, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." There's sometimes people don't see Jesus as Lord because he gives a command or he leads in a way and they won't go. They won't even consider it. They won't do that. There are scriptures throughout the gospel of people that came to Christ and called him Lord but were completely insincere. Or they called him Master and they were completely insincere. But the greatest thing is we have so many people that will call him Lord and yet they don't have the right relationship with him in the fact that they've never done the will of his Father which is in heaven. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We'll get to that in a moment. But then he goes on and he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And we see the reality of that passage of scripture, that people will come to him in that day, in that what day? The day of judgment.
when they stand before Him, we're talking about people that are not going to go to heaven. We're talking about people that are never going to get there. And yet they think they are. And when they are judged before the Lord, they're going to protest. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? We picked up the Word of God and we preached. Or they may be people who fancy themselves to be prophets and run around talking about they've got a new prophecy from the Lord and they claim it came from Jesus and they prophesy in Jesus' name. Either way you want to look at the word prophesy, prophecy is bringing forth the Word of God. If the canon of Scripture is closed, the only way to prophesy as far as Scripture goes is to preach the Word of God. But the reality of that is the fact is that people that rely on the fact that they're preachers or fancy themselves to be prophets, it is even possible, if you read in your Bible, go back and read the accounts of Jesus' crucifixion and the things leading up to it. And the high priest, who was not a believer, actually spoke a prophecy indicating that Jesus should die for that nation. The Scripture is replete with people that may have said the truth. Look at Balaam. And the Bible talks about people who follow after the error of Balaam. Balaam told the truth, didn't he? He didn't want to, but he told the truth. But then he went and gave counsel of how they could get Israel to trespass against the Lord. And he said, I can't curse them, but I can show you how you can get them to curse themselves. And they enticed them to fornication at Baal Peor, right? And God judged Israel for that severely. But you have people that follow after the error of Balaam for reward. And there are people that take up that idea. So just the fact that you're a preacher or a prophet doesn't mean anything when it comes to entering into heaven. And then, and the Lord Jesus Himself said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. And it says, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And some of them will say, Lord, Lord, in Thy name we've cast out devils. And there are going to be false prophets and false Christs, and they're going to show signs and wonders. They'll claim and believe that they had actually cast out devils. But Jesus said, if Satan cast out Satan, how shall his kingdom stand? So they really hadn't cast out any devils at all, have they? But they like to think they have. Or they've done something, or they've seen a miracle, or produced a miracle, or something like that. And they said, in Thy name done many wonderful works. And they will go to Him, and maybe they've done miracles, and maybe they've done good works, and maybe they've done these things, but they protest to Him as they stand at the judgment. As they stand on the left hand as one of the goats. And hear the words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And they have that, and they're sitting there, and they protest the Lord and said, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" They do it in the name of Jesus. And yet, we're told that they did not do the will of his Father in heaven, and therefore, they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That ought to make us examine our own hearts, shouldn't it? You know, if you ever start taking stock of yourself and you start thinking in terms of, in your heart of hearts, if you think in terms of the way you have lived and the things you do and all this is what justifies you before God, you've missed the boat. And Jesus will profess unto them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And Jesus has given them sayings and things that they need to do, and he's told them, given them the gospel, and he's told them all these things that he wants them to do, and he's given them ideas and understandings of what's righteous and what's unrighteous. But he also warns them. If you go back to verse 7, he says, or verse 3, he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." All right, so that idea of attending to other people's sins and focusing on other people's sin, and then you yourself have never, you don't see your own lost condition. You don't see the failure of your own relationship. Bible talks about people who promise liberty, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. And it is very important and very sobering that we know what this will of his Father in heaven, what it is. And it's not difficult to figure that out, because the Bible is very clear in teaching the gospel. It's not a difficult thing. But man's pride is such that we want to rest all of our righteousness upon ourselves. We're addicted to self-righteousness. We're addicted to this idea that we of looking at others and saying, you know, I'm not like them. One of the reasons I seem to do well and talk well with people that are in the jail is when I walk in there, I make it clear that I'm no better than they are. And I try to get them to understand that they themselves, that their lives can change, and that Christ can change their lives. But one of the simple facts of it is, if you go in the jail and you act like you're somehow better, they don't tolerate that very well. But if you go in there and you act better, but don't act like you're better than they are, that resonates with them. And that's a good thing. That's a way to reach people. But even being able to do that, even having that ability to talk to people like that and talk to people like that, there's a reality in there. It's not just feeling good about one another. And it's not people feeling good about me that is going to make the difference. Just like people, you can feel good about yourself. Trust me, when these people that Jesus is talking about, when they lived their lives, they felt good about themselves. They felt good about themselves. They congratulated themselves. And they're still doing it. They stand before Him and they're congratulating themselves. And pointing to the things that they've done in His name. And Jesus said, I never knew you. That's a scary thought. And it's important. Number one, it's important we have to look in our own hearts and say, have I done the will of the Father? Have I truly done that from my heart? Am I doing the will of the Father? Have I done that? Or have I not? So what is the will of the Father? Well, in John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, Jesus saith unto him, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. So Jesus, our example, He did the will of the Father to finish His work. What was His work? What did He come? The Son of Man is come to give His life a ransom. He's come to seek and to save that which is lost. That's it. That's the Father's will. For Him, that is what it is, and that's the whole point. But then, and this is, you know, if you read the chapter in chapter 4, this is when He met the woman of Samaria, that woman at the well, right? This is where He met that person. And the truth of the matter, as he did that, he was telling them about His will, that His meat was to do His Father's will. So we have that example of our Savior, and He's telling us that if we want to go to heaven, we have to do the will of the Father. So what is the will of the Father? And it's not going to surprise you, don't get me wrong, but we need to pay attention to it. If you'll turn with me to the book of John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, it says this. After Jesus had fed the multitudes, in chapter 6 verse 26, after they asked Him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? After He came across the other side of the sea, it says there, it says, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves that were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which the Son, which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto Him, what works? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. They said therefore unto Him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written of in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread that which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And we could go on that, but we know that when he's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he's not talking about communion. He's talking about humbling ourselves and coming to him and believing on him. He said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And so when we talk about what is the Father's will, and he said, but my Father's will for me is I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That everybody that gets saved, they're going to be raised up incorruptible. And by the way, it's not just the bodies of the saved that are raised at the voice of the coming of the Lord. It's the bodies of the lost. That all that are in the graves will hear the voice of the Son of Man and shall come forth, some under the resurrection of life and some unto a resurrection of damnation. That's in the Scriptures. Ought to be pretty self-explanatory there. But that's the will of the Father for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. Oh, preacher, there you're just telling us the gospel. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm telling you the gospel yet again. And I'm saying you need to make sure you believe the gospel. And one of the indications, Brother Larry, of whether you believe, truly believe the gospel is when Jesus said that that he said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. The passage of Scripture that we see there and we understand there is that Christ is our life. He is not a one-time shot in the sense, yes, salvation is one time and yes, it's eternal. But to be a Christian, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Christ is your life. He becomes the means by which you are nourished, by the means by which you grow. He is the means. You go into 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That faith is not a one-shot deal. It's continuous. It continues on. And I'm not talking about getting saved over and over again. I'm talking about the genuineness of your faith. Is your faith genuine? Because these people called Him Lord, Lord. And they pointed to all the things that they did in His name. But in the final analysis, they justified themselves not by the Lord Himself, but by what they had done for Him. That's an important thing in our day and age. Because much of religion is that way. And man is prone to that self-righteousness. Just remember the Pharisee and the publican. Just as Jesus is going to say to these, "Depart, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." He said that Pharisee prayed thus with himself. That Pharisee lifted up his eyes to heaven, no doubt. But as he was praying, he wasn't praying to the Lord. He prayed thus with himself. And that poor publican, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. And said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And he went down justified, not the other. That ought to be something we ought to understand. And I tell you to search your heart of hearts about that. And I pray that everybody here has truly trusted Christ their Savior. Their faith is in Him. That they've seen the Son. They see Him for who He is. See Him as their only hope of salvation. See Him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. See Him as the Savior that God promised. That they believe that with all their heart and put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. They come to Him with the desire for not just their sins to be forgiven, but the desire to change, the desire to walk with God, the desire to grow up in the Lord, the desire to be what Jesus wants us to be, a desire for Him, a desire for holiness. You see, why you do things is just as important as that you do things. I'm preaching this morning. And we have a tendency to exalt preachers, don't we, Brother Larry? Sometimes that becomes a problem. We put the preacher in place of God. But I'm preaching today, but the question is, why? Why am I preaching today? That's important, isn't it? You hopefully are trying to live a good godly life. But why? Are you trying to justify yourself to God? That's a question only you can answer. And if you're not saved, if you're one of these people saying, Lord, Lord, but Christ doesn't know you as one of his own, you need to deal with that today. But once again, we also have to look at this in context of as a church and as individual believers, we have to look at this in the context of what does this mean for other people? What does this mean when I go out and share the gospel? I need to make sure that people understand what the Father's will is. I don't want to communicate half the gospel. And technically, when we talk about the gospel, what are we talking about? The death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ, right? But the Bible says that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We look at that, that's the gospel. That's the simplicity of it. But we need to make people need to understand that it's not a reformation of character in order to try to get God's favor. You know, we look at a lost and dying world and we see people who have often tried to reform their character and failed, and they've just given up hope. They need to hear the truth that Christ can save the sinner. He can save a murderer like the Apostle Paul. He can save the harlot. He can save the adulterer, the whoremonger. He can save the drunkard. He can save anybody from anywhere. He can save the sodomite. But we also need to make sure that people understand that they need to do the will of the Father. They need to see the Son and believe on Him. To truly believe on Him, not Jesus plus something. Not me turning over a new leaf. There's nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself. Matter of fact, it's encouraged. But you're not supposed to trust in it. And we need to make sure that people believe from their heart. We need to communicate to them that truth, that the things that we do not justify us before God. See, people have problems with that. They oftentimes have difficulty with that because we go out and we do right. And I don't know about you, Brother Donnie, but I go out and I do right and I expect when I do right that God will bless that. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I know that when I do the right thing, God's going to bless that effort. And even if I do the right thing when I'm being persecuted, and I may get persecuted for doing the right thing. I've said of the Apostle Paul, he was part and partial to the murder of who knows how many men and women, and killed them for no other reason than they believed something different than he did. And more heinously, he killed them because they believed on Christ. Because they named the name of Christ. And he never went to jail until he did right. Until he got saved and did right. Then he went to jail, didn't he? And yet God still blessed, didn't he? And he still did the right thing. But he never said anything about his own righteousness. He didn't say that. When he talked about righteousness, he talked about Jesus. And when you and I talk about righteousness, we ought to be talking about Jesus. Because our righteousness is of Him. Our hope is of Him. And it's not the doing of this or that. It's the shed blood of Christ that pays the penalty for sin. Nothing else. When He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down. He did that. He saves to the uttermost. But if you're in your heart of hearts, you're looking forward to the day and saying that somehow that when you get to heaven, you're going to talk to God about what you've done, you've missed the boat. And we need to make sure that the people we share the gospel with, that they understand what the will of the Father is. We can't be ambiguous about it. We can't leave it up to chance. We need to try to communicate it properly. We can't make people believe, but we can do our part to make sure they understand what to believe and how to believe. That they abandon themselves and put their trust completely in Christ. Paul said it this way, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." What was he talking about? He was talking about his heritage, being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee. Right? All the things that he did. He said he was blameless in the righteousness which is by the law. Not that he was perfect, but he did everything they told him to do. He did everything right on the outside, he just never dealt with the inside. And we need to make sure people understand that salvation is a matter of your heart. And it's a matter of who you are placing your trust in. No wonder Paul said, "I was determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And the world needs to understand that. And we need to be clear when we share it. We need to make sure people understand that the will of the Father is to see the Son and believe on Him. To see Jesus for who He is. And to put your faith and trust in Him and Him only. That's the will of the Father. Yes, there are many things that are the will of God, but when it comes to salvation, that's the will of the Father. When it comes to everlasting life, when it comes to entering the kingdom of heaven, that's the will of the Father. And you say to me, "Preacher, I know this." Well, good. Tell the world. But I will say this, knowing about it and doing it are two different things. We need to be clear. We need to preach a clear gospel message. We need to make sure people understand what needs to be done. And we need to make sure people understand that there's no standing before God and justifying yourself. There's no way to do it. It can't be done. I mean, when you look at what Jesus said, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. How in the world could any of us ever be justified? That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we need the shedding of His blood. That's why we need Him, because He's the only way. Father's will. You need to do the Father's will. Have you done the Father's will when it comes to your soul, when it comes to going to heaven, when it comes to having eternal life? And if you have, praise the Lord. But if you haven't, today's the day. And then the question I would ask after that is, are you making it clear to other people what needs to be done? We have a long list of people that go in a in the world so often that you hear them talk about repentance in the sense of changing your behavior. Changing your behavior, you can change your behavior through self-righteousness. Genuine repentance will bring a change of behavior, but they're not synonymous. Because one's a matter of deeds and the other is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of trust. What are you trusting in? Who are you trusting? Are you trusting in yourself that you're righteous? Or are you trusting in the shedding of Christ's blood as payment for your sins? What are you trusting in? And when we take that message out, we need people to hear the gospel clearly. They need to understand that there is no other way but faith in Christ. He's their only hope. They need to see Him, and they need to believe on Him. And it's our job not to muddy up the message. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we close the service today, I just pray You'd help us to see the truth. I pray, Lord, as we study the Word of God, that we would just continually learn and we would see that every bit of the Scripture, in one way or another, directly or indirectly, points us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is our hope, He's our peace, He's our life, He's everything. And Lord, it's not going through the motions, it's believing from the heart. So Lord, if there's one that's lost, that hasn't trusted Christ from their heart, that haven't received the Word of God from their heart, I just pray, Lord, You'd help them to see that that's what they need. They need to put their faith and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they need to see Him as their only hope, their only way of ever being righteous enough to please God. And Lord, I just pray that You would help us to that end, to communicate it clearly to a lost and dying world. Lord, there's been a big revival of self-righteousness of all manner. And Lord, help us to be clear. Whether or not it's popular or whether or not it gains us anything with anybody, help us to be clear and preach the gospel clearly and make sure people know what the will of the Father is. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.